Well, there are challenging times for Christian churches in America, and in some ways, that statement is nothing new. Congregations have faced various hardships for centuries, and these days, virtually all denominations are struggling to maintain their numbers as an increasing number of youth are shunning organized religion. And as the nation becomes more ethically and culturally diverse, churches are forced to, of course, reevaluate their message. And this month, the Michigan area of the United Methodist Church welcomed its new spiritual leader. And Bishop David Bard began his duties on September 1st, and he now leads about 135,000 UMC members in Michigan. And he is with me now live in the studio to talk about his new role and the direction of the church. And Bishop Bard, good morning and welcome to Current State.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And first of all, Bishop Bard, I found out that you are originally from Duluth, Minnesota, so welcome to Michigan.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And, well, I guess we don't have to warn you about the winters here. So
people have been warning us, and I said we're well prepared.
Well, good. So for our listeners who may not be familiar with the United Methodist Church, how is it organized?
The United Methodist Church is an international denomination. It's a rather complex organization in some ways. So within the United States, it is organized primarily by conferences. So the state of Michigan currently has two conferences. One of my tasks is to help follow through on a vote that two conferences took last year to merge to become a single conference. So the state of Michigan is a conference. There are 50-some conferences within the United States and 46 Episcopal areas. Some bishops oversee two conferences, like I currently do, although soon it will be a single conference.
So when will that single conference happen?
The official date that we're shooting for to legally merge is January 1st, 2019, but we're beginning to do some of that work ahead of time. Some of our committees are meeting together. We're working hard on a lot of aspects of this merger coming together.
So the 2016 conference, and that was actually at MSU in June, at the Breslin Center.
Yes, it was.
And is that when everyone decided to meet together for the what happened there?
So I believe that's when the final vote took place. It could have taken. Actually, I think the vote took place in 2015 to come together to create the new conference, and they've been following through. They met together, the two conferences, for the first time at MSU in 2016.
So that had never happened before.
It had never happened before. The two conferences, West Michigan and Detroit, had always met separately.
Oh, okay. So then that happened right at MSU. So very local.
It was very nice for that to happen here.
And were you here?
I was not.
Okay.
I was not.
Okay.
So I really learned that I would be coming to Michigan 3 days after I got elected a bishop in July.
Okay. And so how did you feel about that?
We were very happy to come to Michigan. Michigan is somewhat familiar territory. The Upper Peninsula was always a part of our news cycle in Duluth. Duluth is on Lake Superior. So knew something of that. I traveled to Michigan a few times during my life. And in fact, when I was going into the sixth grade, my father's job got transferred to Michigan, and we almost moved here. But then he found another job in Duluth, and we stayed.
So almost, but not quite.
Almost, but not quite. I'm much happier now than I probably would have been in the sixth grade to move to Duluth, from Duluth.
Right. So now you're here. And of course, we are talking with Reverend David Bard. He's the new bishop for the United Methodist Church in Michigan. So you were elected in July, but just assumed your leadership about 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
So you lead about 135,000 members in Michigan. So this is a challenging time for virtually all faith communities. And of course, one big issue facing the United Methodist Church is the rights of the LGBTQI community. What does your church leadership say about including those individuals in the faith?
That is an issue that faces us, and it faces the United Methodist Church in somewhat of a unique way. Unlike many other denominations in the United States, we are an international denomination, so we have people who vote on our policies internationally. And as you might imagine, the conversation in the United States is a very different conversation than in places, for example, in the continent of Africa, where conversations about homosexuality in some places are illegal. We are working on this issue. The United Methodist Church meets every 4 years in what's called a general conference that votes on the official policies of the denomination. This last general conference asked the Council of Bishops, of which I'm a part, to provide some leadership on this issue in a way they'd never asked before. So there's a commission being formed to talk about how we might move forward as a denomination on the issue. Currently, the denominational policy is that, and I'm quoting from our book of discipline, the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. When I ran for bishop, I was clear that I would like to see some changes in that. But as a bishop, I also am charged with upholding the current rules. And so I live in that tension. But I'm going to be very supportive of that commission's work as it tries to help our denomination find a way forward together.
So the UMC formed a special council.
It is in the process of forming a commission. The Council of Bishops is in the process of forming a commission on behalf of the whole church. Sorry to get into all of the, you know, technicalities of that.
No, but it's very important, and probably very important for your members. And you have a lot of members, 135,000
yes.
members.
Who have diverse perspectives, who read the Bible with somewhat different eyes, who have struggled with issues of inclusion in very different ways. So I want to be respectful of people who have views that may be different from my own and listen well to all of those folks.
So denominations struggling with issues like this, and I know a lot of churches losing members over issues like this.
The loss of membership across denominations, including ours, is complex. This may be one issue for which people are leaving the church, both because they maybe don't like the fact that we're continuing to struggle with it. They feel like there's a clear way forward. They have a clear understanding of where the church should be, and that the church is struggling with it is an issue. But you know, our whole society, every denomination has been losing people, and I think there's a lot of complex reasons for that. Partly it's struggles over issues around human sexuality and inclusion of LGBTQI persons. Some of it is the busyness of our culture has changed dramatically. Most families have working parents who are, you know, they're very stretched. Things like youth athletics take up more weekends than they used to. It's a pretty complex issue that we try to address.
So it's really all around. It's not just one issue.
I think membership loss can't be traced simply to one issue.
So if you had one thing that you could hope for being the new bishop, mm-hmm. what would that be for? What would you wish for?
I would hope that all of our United Methodist members take time to remember why their faith and church is important to them and be willing to live that out and to share that in gentle and kind ways with other people.
Let's talk about that was very beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk about the church's international service.
Yes.
You guys do a lot.
We do. So I talked a little bit about some of the tensions in voting on difficult issues internationally, but one of the real gifts of being an international denomination is that we are able to do some wonderful work internationally. One good example of that is a project called Imagine No Malaria. It began with a program to get medicated nets to people in sub-Saharan Africa where malaria was a significant problem, where the death rate was high from the disease. And then it became clear that sometimes those nets weren't well used, and so we needed to add an educational component to that. So my daughter traveled to Uganda one time and saw this mosquito net being used as a fishing net. Well, it was a nice use of the net. It wasn't what it was intended to be used for. So this nothing but nets morphed into what we're calling Imagine No Malaria. We've raised close to $75 million to provide nets and education. And the death rate from malaria in sub-Saharan Africa has gone down 50% since this program was initiated.
Since the whole education process began.
The nets and the education process, yes.
And part of that because of your daughter?
Well, I don't know about my daughter, but part of it is because of the work of the United Methodist Church. And we've partnered with a lot of other organizations, religious and secular, to make this happen.
And right now we are talking about the United Methodist Church in Michigan, and the new bishop, David Bard, is with us. And you just started September 1st.
Yes.
And how do you see your duties to the church How do you define that?
Well, I have some specific responsibilities. So in our denomination, bishops appoint pastors to their place of service. So that's one of my big jobs, and part of that involves really listening well to congregations and their needs and pastors and their hopes and dreams and concerns and needs. Part of it is really a deeply symbolic role, being present and listening, caring, offering words of hope that are also rooted in reality. You don't want to offer words of hope that don't seem like you've taken people's real concerns into account. But being a person of faith means being a person of hope.
So are you accessible to members?
I am. Now, my schedule is pretty complex, so I do respond if people have concerns, and people do know how to get a hold of me. I have already gotten some emails, both welcome and here's my issue, and I respond as best I can to individuals. But primarily, I will be meeting people in groups. So I've got like 3 welcoming events coming up in the state of Michigan, one in the Detroit area, one in the Kalamazoo area, and one at the tip of the Lower Peninsula. And I've already been in Marquette and was there for the opening of a new church service. So I will be traveling around a lot.
So you're making the rounds.
I am doing that and plan to continue to do that.
So what do you expect from yourself?
What do I expect from myself? Oh, what a wonderful question. I expect that I will continue to learn and grow as I'm in this position, that my own faith will deepen, that I can share that with others. I expect that I will continue to grow in my leadership so that I can genuinely be with others, people and congregations, as they navigate this challenging time for the Christian church in the United States and in Michigan.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Again, we've been talking about the United Methodist Church in Michigan, and Bishop David Bard is the congregation's new spiritual leader. And he was elected in July and just took over his duties on September 1st. And he's from Duluth, Minnesota, almost moved here as a 6th grader to
Yes.
Michigan, but did not. But he's here now. And so how long are you here for? Are you here for a certain time or?
Bishops are assigned 4 years at a time. So that's all I can count on. But I can serve as a bishop in the United States. In the United Methodist Church, bishops are elected for life. And there is a mandatory retirement age. So my total term as a bishop will be 12 years. And I could serve all 12 of those in Michigan. I could serve in 3 different places. I'm kind of hoping that's not the case after just moving. Not anxious to move again.
Of course not. Well, Bishop Bard, it was a pleasure talking with you, and best of luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking time, and thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.